Hello, I'm Robert Bounds, and you're listening to the Monocle Culture Show. This week, we've been raiding the magazine stands for a brand new publication called Pilot TV. Made by the team behind the film title Empire, this mag aims to give the same sort of attention to scripted series as they do to film. And why shouldn't they? Today, we're increasingly seeing actors, directors, and producers making high-quality drama for all the giants of the small screen. Netflix, Amazon, HBO, Hulu, etc., etc. So is this the magazine we've all been waiting for? It's having a bit of a trial run this year, but see if we think it has longevity on the newsagent's shelf. I'll be joined by Peter White, international editor at Deadline Hollywood. Pete, welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Nice to have the dulcet white tones back on the airwaves.
Yes, absolutely.
We've got issue zero. Issue one, for all intents and purposes, of Pilot TV in front of us. It looks very much kind of like it sits on the similar sort of shelf with I guess, sort of monthly music magazines such as Q and, of course, its stablemate, Empire. What do we make of the cover? What hits you between the eyes, Pete, when you see Pilot?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think the first thing to say is I'm sort of surprised this hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
You know, given that we've been talking about these shows, the Netflix dramas and Amazons and so forth for you know, quite a few years now. I'm actually genuinely surprised no one has done this before to try and reel in some viewers. Luke Cage, The Gloves Are Off, the inside story of the Marvel Super Show.
The Marvel Super Show.
The Marvel Super Show.
He's harder than anything. He's literally made of marble.
Yo, I'm Luke Cage.
I ain't no joke.
You can't burn me. You can't blast me. And you definitely can't break me.
I ain't no joke.
You wanna test me? Step up. I'm right here.
Get paid, black man. Get paid. Go.
For the first issue of a magazine, this is a big deal. Who or what do you put on the cover? Do you put one image? Do you put a composite? They've got one main image, which is obviously a very stylized press shot, kind of superhero press shot. We've got a side panel down the left-hand side with Westworld, The Handmaid's Tale, and The West Wing. So a bit of new and old and quality and kind of retro TV going on there as well. There's a bit of setting out of the stool. Luke Cage is kind of maybe a surprising choice, not one of Netflix's sexiest sort of top-ranking shows, perhaps. Yeah. I don't know about the ranking, but maybe the fame of it. Give us a little bit of an idea of who late Luke Cage is.
Yeah, well, look, one of the Marvel Universe season. The other surprising thing, I guess, is it's season two of this show launches in June. So he is, you know, he is one of their key. He was in The Defenders and then got his own show. Interesting, you know, one of Marvel's first African American superstars. So that's my only question as to, you know, I don't know why they necessarily picked that show. Maybe it was the access they had to him and that was the best that they wanted. And as you say there, whether they wanted it a slightly younger audience. I thought they might have gone for something slightly cooler, which, you know, if you're with your friends these days, you sort of want to try and be able to ask them about a show that you've seen that they haven't. You know, perhaps on some service.
But if you want something with a bit of cred, and this is the magazine presumably that can give you a bit of extra access, go behind the scenes, give you some kind of plot lines that weren't included in the show, or these kind of things. You know, the kind of like
the hidden meaning behind.
That's what we want, Pete.
Yeah, well,
that's what we want. I hear Peter White pitching.
But
to,
then I guess
do the
makers of Empire want that? I guess you know that you've got Little White Lies in the movie space, which is probably what I'm probably referring to if we were doing TV version of it. But this is Empire, so yeah, they probably want to get the a slightly broader audience. But yeah, as you said, the down the side you've got Handmaid's Tale, which is sort of, I would say, one of those cooler shows. You've got Westworld and The West Wing, which I still think to this day is my favourite of the quality drama.
The quality dramas.
I could watch that on repeat forever.
I kind of love that thing, especially when it's a new magazine, or it could be something like Empire, which I have a soft spot for, and Q and all these things, where, as I say, you kind of feel like suddenly you're going to be able to look at something brand new, watch it and appreciate it, and then sort of cross-reference it with all of its sort of historical antecedents and things. I think there's something rather nice about, and I think Pilot does this nicely, providing a bit of a sort of family tree.
If you like this, you might like that.
Yeah, and I kind of love that. It gives a great sense of the scale and breadth and wealth of what is on the box nowadays in so many ways. Right?
They've covered a huge amount of TV. It is quite a big magazine. Mm. You know, they've got old shows there like Pushing Daisies. They've got, you know, new shows like The City and The City and, you know, some of Sky's new originals like Save Me. I do wonder whether they're going to run out of TV if you do it like this every time. I know they're not necessarily.
If you feel it just to be all about YouTube,
you'd have thought they might have to go a bit further. There's only so many of those shows like The West Wing, like Sopranos, that you know you can keep doing features on. I guess movies has a slight ability to. There are far more movies than there are quality television shows, and especially if you're going to take, you know, the BBC does, you know, 10 quality dramas a year. If you're writing about 6 of them a month, then you're going to run out quite quickly.
Yeah, I suppose you front load. I suppose with this, you front load it, don't you? This is all the stuff we can do. This
Absolutely.
Is the, here's our all the firepower on offer, and then they can thin it out or go into more, you know, zone in on particular aspects of certain shows, particular genres, particular kind of regions, I suppose, and all the rest of it. We did an interview with the editor, and we did it on another one of the shows here on Monocle 24. This is Fernando Augusto Pacheco speaking to the editor of Pilot TV, and she's Terry White.
I actually can't believe that nobody else has thought of this yet, or if they have thought of it, got their shit together and actually done it. So it is Pilot Television. The tagline is "Because you can't watch everything." And that's essentially our kind of mission statement. We are focusing on cinematic television, and by that we mean TV programmes with the scope and the scale and the budgets and the talent and the storytelling that really you used to see in just in films on the big screen. And, you know, it hasn't escaped anybody's notice that, you know, along with Sky doing incredible things in terms of bringing in HBO shows to the UK, we've had Netflix, which began as a streaming platform and is now an incredible content platform. And we were just looking at these array of shows coming like week after week after week with, you know, huge directors. You had Ridley Scott moving between film and The Man in the High Castle for Amazon. You've got Martin Scorsese making his next film with Netflix. And we were kind of thinking, how do we cover this in Empire? And then I started to think, and the management team around me, we all said, actually, this feels like a separate thing. This feels like there's an audience of people who aren't being catered for, especially in print, who really love this stuff. This isn't passive telly watching. This isn't Corrie on a Friday night. This is people who love these shows, who will happily spend 6 hours on a Saturday when they probably should be doing chores, actually just binge watching. And they take this stuff really seriously. I am the editor-in-chief of Empire as well. And for me, Empire is a celebration, a love affair with film. And it has to remain that. That's Empire through and through. And so I thought, to actually do it justice, we should do something else. And we started to talk about it, and the appetite for it kind of blew us all away, really. So we turned this around in only a couple of months. We went from just having this idea in our heads to actually, you know, I'm looking at a finished magazine in front of you right now, which seems kind of mad.
And it feels a natural progression, you know. As I said, you know, as a reader of Empire, remember when you guys introduced the television on the magazine? I have to be honest, in the beginning I was like, TV on my favorite film magazine, but then it became natural. And then, but tell us about the plans. Do you want to do this every season, or how often will it come out?
So our ultimate aim would for it to be a monthly title. That would be my ultimate aim. We are seeing kind of how the first one goes, you know. We decided, instead of sitting in rooms with readers and market researching this for months and months and months, let's just actually put our money where our mouth is. Let's put the product out in the world and see how people feel about it. And we're going to do some focus groups, and we're doing some surveys. And what we want to know is, when do people want it? How often do they want it? We're really going to be led by the audience on this. We do currently have plans to do another issue in the autumn. But yeah, as I say, I think there could really be a potential for a monthly title here. But we really want to see what the audience think about it, what they think about the product, how often do they want it? Because this stuff isn't going away. Actually, the volume of shows is growing. And that's what we were responding to is, you know, I know that sometimes I sit there on a weekend and I look at my watch. I've got a watch list on my laptop and I'm looking at it and I have it in an order. And then somebody else will tell me about something, or I'll read something on social. And then I'm looking at my list going, oh God, where am I going to put it? And I kind of get paralysed by the overwhelming number of amazing stuff. And I think there's a huge service to be done here in terms of we will only tell you about the good stuff. So we are not going to spend ages, you know, slagging off some show because we think it's a one star. We're going to basically sift through everything out there across all channels, all platforms, the big ones and the small ones. And we will then basically tell you what to watch and pretty much in what order you should watch it.
We need that. It's a service because I think with cinema, it can be pretty straightforward. You know, in a weekend, okay, 2-3 films are released. But with TV, I get confused myself. You know, sometimes Netflix or those streaming services can be quite confusing, you know, if you're not an expert. So I think this magazine is necessary. Tell us about the cover story. Luke Cage.
So we are, you know, this is from the makers of Empire. It isn't a men's magazine at all, which I think sometimes people try and put entertainment magazines in gender categories. We do know that the Empire audience is 2/3 male. And so I think that's the base we were starting from of using that audience as really going to them first and seeing what they would like. You know, Luke Cage, it's from the Marvel Universe, which is obviously Empire's kind of heartland, really. And we know that it's been really successful for Netflix. So I think it was definitely a front from the get-go. But, you know, then we thought, actually, we really want to show on the cover of this magazine that there is incredible breadth inside and that we are for men and for women. The thing that unites our readers is definitely not their genitals. It is their passion and obsession for TV. So we've actually, and I think the cover's really interesting because we've created a cover that nothing like it exists on the UK newsstand. I mean, my belief is it's because this market has never existed on the UK newsstand. Your TV magazines are high frequency, Radio Times and the TV listings mags, very different demographic, very different market positioning. This is brand new. We will be racked by Empire. But, you know, we have this amazing column down the left, which enables us to showcase some of the other shows that are really important to this audience. So you've got Westworld, you've got Handmaid's Tale, and then The West Wing, we've got a big oral history inside because retro TV and the beginnings of cinematic TV is really important to this audience, who will have loved The Sopranos, who will have loved The West Wing, who will have really started to get into TV at quite an early stage. Probably before everybody else kind of went, oh, actually, great stuff is happening in telly. So we really wanted the cover to communicate that. And we really want to treat TV like Empire treats film, which is, it's not throwaway, it's not disposable. We will do a 10-page West Wing feature. We will do an 8-page Luke Cage feature. We are treating these things with the kind of depth that we think they deserve.
And that was Terry White, the effusive Terry White, editor-in-chief of Empire and Pilot TV, which is what we're talking about today. And she was being interviewed there by Fernando Augusto Pacheco on The Stack from last week, I think. Peter White's in the studio with me from Deadline Hollywood. We're picking the bones of this new magazine called Pilot TV apart. What are we spitting out? What bits of sardine flesh are we happily digesting? And which bits are we spitting out, I wonder, Pete?
I mean, I think on the whole, it's quite exciting that there is a new TV magazine out there. You know, I buy the Radio Times, and you do treat it like a listings magazine more often than not. And then the other magazines just seem to, you know, they just focus on the soap. So there isn't, as Terry says there, a title that looks at television in this way, which, you know, again, is surprising, but you know, also fascinating.
I was interested to see your first response was, well, I can't believe no one's done this before. And that was exactly the top line of her interview, right? It was like, well, why has no one done this before? This is amazing. I suppose television, quality television, the breadth and scope of good quality television has got to the point now where it can service enough, you know, it can service media in and of itself, I suppose.
Yeah, their hope is that they can get the advertising to pay for this and get enough people to buy it off the newsstands, which probably wouldn't have been the case a few years ago.
Yeah, and now and you mentioned the Radio Times, and I had that in my notes because it was one of those funny ones. Before the interview with Terry there, we talked about the difference between a consumer magazine, something for the punter, the guy with his Sky subscription, etc., Or the trade press, which is I sometimes feel like we're kind of halfway in and halfway out of that. I kind of wanted to see an interview with maybe a commissioner or a channel boss or something to kind of put it in sort of some sort of context. We have directors and writers and the talent interviewed, but nothing behind the scenes. I wanted a bit more of that.
It used to be that the only people ever interviewed about these shows would have been the stars.
Yeah.
And as the showrunners and the directors and the behind-the-screens talent becomes almost as famous as some of the on-screen stars, it's interesting, yeah, they've interviewed showrunners and so forth, but that, yeah, they haven't quite gone all in, which I can sort of understand why, because I'm not sure Joe Public really cares what the BBC commissioner or, you know, the Netflix commissioner...
Yeah. Just nerds like me, then.
Yeah, and you should be reading the trade press, perhaps. Yeah. I mean, the trade press's job is essentially to find out what's happening, you know, as soon as it happens, rather than when it goes on screen. So,
yeah.
You know, we, you know, with the Varieties, the Deadlines, and the Hollywood Reporters, that, you know, the mags that I write for and compete against, that is their job to try and find out information at the very early stage, which, you know, oftentimes these people don't want out there, but perhaps is a bit early because it's not going to be on screen for 18 months.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those things with in your world, Pete, you're kind of looking at the un-PR'd, you know, you're getting the news story out, or you know, the story about the programming out before it's been massaged, before yeah. it's been communicated to the public in any way, or even the press, I suppose. You're getting the deals, you're getting the raw stuff. You know who's perhaps going to be on the front cover of Pilot TV, and I hope it lasts a distance in 5 years' time.
Yeah, and often because that's, you know, these projects take some time to get together. So a writer will have an idea, we'd like to find out about that, you know, soon as. They pitch it to a production company, and we want to find that out. And it goes to a channel, and then they get talent involved. So there's all different stages.
All these fortunately leaky stages, which you can take advantage of.
Absolutely.
It's good though, right?
Exactly.
And we talked about the good old radio times. We call it the good old radio times here in the UK. For our international readers, it seemed almost like a sort of arm of the BBC. It was the listings magazine. It had some features and bits and bobs in it. The fact that it was called the Radio Times dates it to, obviously, it's sort of, I guess, sort of like pre-war, it's like sort of 1930s foundation or whatever it is. This now very much, and the TV Times and those sort of listings.
We had to buy the TV Times and the Radio Times.
That's right, because it's
both
TV
channels.
Times to the ITV and, yeah, and Radio Times to BBC. Does that very much now to you feel, you said you were a subscriber to it, you know, probably an occupational hazard as much as a bit of nostalgia, and it's probably a very nice magazine. Does that now feel very much in the land of the BBC One, what's happening in EastEnders, you know, who's presenting this morning, this kind of thing, an ITV land rather than the Netflix, the Hulu, the Amazons?
Yeah, Radio Times has tried to tell you what's streaming as well, but it does feel very much, and I guess what's not in Pilot TV, and this, you know, sounds very much on purpose, is, you know, factual entertainment, which is still the most popular genre in the UK, which, you know, Bake Off is still the show that rates, you know, as high as anything with, you know, Strictly and shows like that.
Yeah.
So that's not covered in this, and I assume that's very much on purpose.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I wondered about that. When I picked it up, I was expecting to see a bit of, you know, I wasn't expecting to see a big picture of Fern Cotton or Bruce Forsyth grinning out at me.
But you might want to see Chef's Table, or you might want to see something, you know, one of the high-end.
Because there's obviously, there's a lot of great stuff. You know, there's a lot of, like, David Chang's Netflix, his food show, the name of which annoyingly escapes me.
Ugly Delicious.
Ugly Delicious. I've really enjoyed that show. And you feel like that and the Anthony Bourdain world, these sort of things where the interest, I'd have thought also for advertisers, thinking about a new magazine, you know, would be interested in being able to sell food or to sell different sort of other products alongside this TV offering.
I'd be surprised if they don't touch on some of those. You know, some of the sort of the high-end documentaries that Netflix and Amazon does, All or Nothing, which is Amazon's sort of sports franchise, again, has these sort of feature-length documentaries, and you could see them appealing to the same audience.
What did it make you want to see more of? I mean, as in watch, what did you kind of... I mean, you presumably... You're in the industry and all the rest of it, but you must have read this and kind of went, oh, they're doing that.
Of course. Or not.
No, I did. The good old leaky contacts in the TV industry as reliable as ever.
No, I think this is stuff that's very much finished, so if I don't know about it, I'm not doing my job very well. What did it make me want to do? It made me want to watch The West Wing again.
Yeah.
It made me want to, you know, go back and watch Desperate Housewives again.
Yeah.
Or certainly The Pilot. And it reminded me of a few shows that I hadn't thought about in some time. And then, you know, pointed you at the future in terms of what's coming up. There's a big picture there, Patrick Melrose.
This one, yeah. Now this fantastic. I'm really looking forward to. Love that. So this is Patrick Melrose. It's simply called, it's going to be on Sky Atlantic and Now TV halfway through May, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Patrick Melrose. These are the Edward St. Aubyn novels, and absolutely amazing and so difficult to put this on screen, because so much, I think, of Patrick Melrose's thoughts are in his, you know, they're his thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it isn't dialogue, although the dialogue in it's amazing.
I haven't
Tell us a little bit about
Yeah, I haven't seen a full episode, but I have seen about 5 minutes of it, and, you know, Benedict just looks fabulous to play this
good
character.
Casting.
It's great casting. It's a really, as you say, they're a really difficult character to nail down.
Yeah.
But apparently he'd wanted to do that, you know, from the moment he'd read the books. And when they found out that someone was doing it, did everything he could to play that role. It's interesting because, you know, in the UK, we're going to think of that as a Sky show. And in the States, it's going to be on Showtime.
Mm.
And I thought that was one of the other interesting things about the pilot, was that it is largely US, you know, and then there's a lot of UK in as well. What I was slightly surprised about, given that, you know, we're all obsessed with what's on Walter Presents or on the sort of, you know, what's the next killing or the bridge.
Mm.
Surprised to see there wasn't a few more of the foreign language stuff, which again points to that idea that, you know, did you watch, you know, that show from Israel? Did you watch that show from a country that you didn't expect? I thought they might have been able to put in one or two more of those.
Yeah, because people that have listened to this programme before or back in its earlier iteration will know that we've talked a lot about this. We've talked about hot territories.
Yeah.
And it is not for the sake of kind of the glibness of being international and the kind of facade of it. Very, very obviously, there's some incredible formats and dramas. I mean, Homeland was an Israeli TV programme originally, wasn't it? And yeah, I'd have liked to have seen a bit more internationalism. I'd like to have seen a few more subtitles, basically,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, Pete, anyway, we're going to finish and we're going to look at one of the things that jumped out of the magazine that I know also, obviously, you've had your eye on for a while. This is called Killing Eve, and this has obviously been picked up by Pilot TV. It's a new thriller by the Fleabag writer and star Phoebe Waller-Bridge. That was a BBC show. And we thought we'd round off today's show with our own short review of that. Give us a sort of brief precis of this one, then, Pete.
Yeah, as you say, it's based on a novel by Luke Jennings and written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is the star and creator of Fleabag. She's not actually,
by the way,
this,
which is amazing.
How good, of course. She's, despite the fact that this is Phoebe Waller-Bridge's show, she's not in it. She just merely wrote and exec produced it. It stars Sandra Oh, who most people know from Grey's Anatomy, and Jodie Comer, who plays who's in Dr. Foster as the girlfriend. It's essentially a cat and mouse spy thriller. It's these two female, one spy and one MI5 agent, trying to track each other down across the world. It's very glossy. It looks quite dark. It's pretty violent. And it launched on BBC America at the weekend. And it was, they did the world premiere in Cannes, at the Cannes series, again, earlier this week. And, I mean, in short, it's fantastic.
Now, we'll try and put it into a bit of context against Fleabag as well. Fleabag, for people that don't know it or didn't see it, it was obviously originally on BBC. I'm sure it's now been proliferated all over the TV world. This was an amazingly kind of humane, funny, odd, kind of sexually liberated and frustrated and very honest and brilliantly written and acted. Sort of difficult to. It was a sitcom, but it was also dramatic. It was also quite nuts and a bit violent and all the rest of it. People who kind of watch, kind of get into two or three series a year, might be turned on to watch this, I guess, because of the quality of the writing.
Yeah, it's a very different show, as you say. Fleabag is quite a small British show, almost, you know, in the way that it might be a British version of Girls or something like that, about a young woman facing all these issues. The one thing that runs through both, however, is the fact that they are both incredibly funny and yet incredibly dark.
Yeah,
and they almost sort of feel like real characters rather than some of the stuff you get in the Hollywood blockbusters or on you know, Patrick Melrose's of the of the world. They feel like, you know, despite being a spy and an MI5 agent, there's some lovely bits of real life that you don't often see on TV as much as you'd imagine.
Yeah, and there is something about this thing. It's kind of genre. It's very difficult to categorise this stuff, as it was with Fleabag. It's sort of, it's definitely funny, but it's kind of dark. It's got all these other things going on in it. It seems to me almost like there is a genre. There is a new genre of genreless shows. You know what I mean? There is a category of kind of like sort of like a swag bag. If I don't know what to do with this, it's kind of a bit funny. It's a bit weird. It's kind of definitely on post watershed TV, but it's also very humane. Discuss. Is there any? Am I going completely mad? Has pop eaten itself, or is that sort
no,
of the truth?
No, and I think the industry calls that premium television.
Ah, right, that's what it is.
But yeah, you're right. There, you know, it ultimately is a spy drama.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in that long lineage of shows that in that genre. But yeah, there's very different beats about it. The tone is very different to what you might have seen in on a BBC drama.
Talking of the tone, here is a clip new from Phoebe Waller-Bridge and co. This is Killing Eve. To kill you, I'm really sorry.
person. Exceptionally bright. Determined. I know something happened to you. I know you're a psychopath. You should never tell a psychopath they are a psychopath. It upsets them. Are you upset?
And a sort of fairly nice atmospheric clip there. That was a bit of Killing Eve, new from Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Where can we see that if we're not Sky America customers or Showtime customers?
So it's going to, as I said, it's launched on BBC America, and the BBC is going to air it in the autumn, probably around September. And it's on in Canal Plus in France, and it's been sold to HBO Europe. So there's already been a number of broadcast deals, so it will be pretty much everywhere.
Let's talk a little bit more trade then, before we sort of sign off with Pilot itself. This again, this was something flagged up by the Atlantic magazine. They said this might be sort of a sign of TV to come. Something we've talked about a lot: the fact that shows like this exist, they are enabled, they're commissioned essentially because of the way that TV has changed and the way that streaming and platforms all the rest of it has changed. This feels like something that wouldn't have been made 5 years ago, even.
No, absolutely, and I think even then, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was in Cannes talking about this, and you know, in the current moment, she was saying that people have woken the fuck up, and you can get these shows away where the characters, there are two women in the show leading the show. Yeah, this is a show that might not have been made without that move, you know, started by the HBOs and then taken on by the Netflixes of the world.
Oh, it's good stuff. We're going to go back to Pilot before we sign off and pick out maybe a couple of the shows that we want or that have been treated very nicely by this. Westworld looks great in this magazine. As you say, the West Wing looks great in this magazine, all sorts of stuff. There's a bit of a retro section at the back of Pilot, which has sort of got me thirsting to get on YouTube and kind of look at some old...
The Monty Python there.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of can't wait. In fact, maybe I'll pitch them myself to do something on Reggie Perrin if I can turn my pen in another direction. I'd love to do that. And that's kind of the strength of it. It doesn't kind of forget television's lineage and history, I suppose, and the debt owed by these new shows to the old ones.
Well, no, and Netflix just bought all of the old Monty Python shows
recently.
So whether there'll be any more, well, there won't be any more with all of the cast, but certainly, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get one or two of them to do something. I would be very surprised if they didn't. But yes,
and I'd be very surprised if John Cleese didn't take them up on the offer.
Yes, I think you can imagine some good puns with John Cleese's name being pitched around the room at the moment, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. Pilot TV, congratulations, Terry White and team. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great addition to the newsstand. I'd say welcome. Pilot TV is out now in all good news agents. You'll see it's numbered issue 0. Possibly an in-joke there for the publishing industry and the TV industry. And if you want to hear the rest of our interview with Terry White, the editor, then listen back to episode 293 of The Stack at monocle.com/radio. Peter White, thank you very much, of course, for joining us on the programme today. And the Monocle Culture Show was produced, of course, by Holly Fisher, and I've been Robert Bound. Join us at the same time next week. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.